This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. It is the end of the week, and we've had such a wonderful time together studying what the Bible tells us about the rapture, the Antichrist, and the tribulation. Be sure to order the series. It's 20 parts, and today is the last day this week which we're offering it. And remember that it comes with a study guide, and we're offering you the book. 464 pages, cover to cover, fully illustrated, called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation, an End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. And there on the cover, we have the picture of the angel blowing the trumpet, the rapture of the church, the Antichrist, who's going to make his big appearance after the rapture of the church. The foreword is written by my friend, Jimmy Evans. And my friend, I really want you to have this book because it's going to answer your questions about the end of the age, and it will give you peace. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call. And remember that when you reach out to us, we are here to pray for you. So let us know how to pray. Just call the number that is on the screen or send us an email. And the moment we hear from you, we're going to really release our faith, and we will believe for Jesus to do exactly what needs to be done in your life, and He will do it. And I want to say thank you if you're a partner. Thank you for supporting our ministry. And if you've never become a partner, please become a partner. We need you, and you will help us take the teaching of the Bible around the earth. And you can become a partner by going online or by giving us a call. But reach for your Bible, and today we're going to see what the Bible tells us about the Antichrist. Over all the centuries, people have tried to guess who is the Antichrist. And there was a period when some folks thought the Antichrist was the Emperor Nero. There were others who thought the Antichrist was the Emperor Trajan. Others later thought it was the Emperor Domitian. There were people who speculated that various popes have been the Antichrist, or Napoleon. Some thought Mussolini was the Antichrist. Some thought Hitler was the Antichrist. I can remember when people thought that Anwar Sadat was the Antichrist, and then people said that Gorbachev was the Antichrist, and then many, many people said possibly Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. And today there are people that are saying maybe King Charles is the Antichrist. But the truth is, we can speculate as much as we want. And in a certain way, it's all a moot point, because the identity of the Antichrist is only going to be revealed after the church is taken out of the way. But this character called the Antichrist is so central in Scripture that the Bible tells us many, many features about him, and that's what we're going to be seeing today. What's he really going to be like when he finally makes his big appearance? And today I'm going to give you 31 points, and we're going to begin with point number one in Daniel 7, 24 to 27, which is about the rising of the Antichrist. And the Bible tells us that when the Antichrist arrives, he will subdue kings, and he will subdue kingdoms, and he will begin to speak blasphemous words against God. That's point number one. Point number two, Daniel 7, 24 tells us the Antichrist will be diverse. And the word diverse means different, which means he's going to be a different kind of leader than any leader that has ever emerged on the world scene. Number three, Daniel 7, 24 tells us explicitly that the Antichrist will subdue kings. And the word subdue that is used in that verse means to abase, to bring low, to humiliate, or to sink. He's going to sink other world leaders. And in context, the Antichrist will abase, bring low, humiliate, and sink other kings or other world leaders, and he will then push himself forward as the greatest leader in the world. Point number four, Daniel 7, 25 says the Antichrist will speak great words against the Most High. The words great words in the Hebrew text really describe pompous words, it's going to be so blasphemously how he will speak, and it will be against the Most High, which is the word used in the Old Testament to describe God as the supreme power of the universe. But the Antichrist, according to Daniel 7:25, is going to assault the reputation of God and the integrity of God. Then we come to point number five, and Daniel 7:25 says the Antichrist will wear out the saints. And those words wear out mean to afflict, to destroy, to devour, to engulf, to persecute, to ruin, or to swallow up. And the word saints describes God's holy people, and it describes the people of Israel and those that are saved during the time of the Great Tribulation who refuse to receive the mark of the beast. According to Daniel 7:25, the Antichrist is going to try to wear them out. Then we come to Daniel 7:25 again. This is point number six. The Antichrist will think to change times and laws. My friends, the Bible tells us so much about the Antichrist. And when the Bible says to change, it means he's going to completely alter times and laws. And times and laws refers to the specific appointed time or season, the period during which the Antichrist rules. And the word laws refers to religion, codes, moral ethics. He's going to try to completely change the landscape of the human race. Number seven, Daniel 7:25 says the Antichrist will have times and law in his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. That is specifically what Daniel 7:25 says. This phrase, a time and times and the dividing of times, refers to the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. So we see that for a limited period of time, 3.5 years, it seems the Antichrist will have all power delivered into his hands. Number eight, in Daniel 7:26, the Bible says the Antichrist will be judged and his dominion will be taken away, and he will be consumed and destroyed. The word judgment that is used in this verse is a word which describes the verdict issued by a court of law, which means God is going to examine all the evidence, heaven is going to issue a verdict, and his kingdom will be taken away. The word taken away means to remove or to strip, as one would strip a royal garment from a dignity. He's going to be stripped of his dominion. The word dominion refers to authority, power, or sovereignty. And Daniel 7:26 says, eventually he will be consumed and destroyed unto the end. The word consume means to annihilate, decimate, destroy, exterminate, obliterate, perish, or completely wipe out. And the word destroy means to destroy, to completely be lost, or to utterly waste, which means at the end of the day, Christ is going to destroy the rule of the Antichrist. Number nine, Daniel 8:26 says the Antichrist will be a king with a fierce countenance. The word fierce that is used in this verse carries the idea of something that is defiant, fierce, harsh, impudent, inhuman, mighty, strong, or just terrible. And even though the Antichrist will style himself as being a progressive leader, Daniel 8:23 tells us, in fact, he will be very inhumane. Number 10, Daniel 8:26 says the Antichrist will understand dark sentences. This phrase, dark sentences, carries the idea of one who deals in darkness. And this connects for me to the word occult, because the word occult describes things that are dark, things that are hidden, and it implies that the Antichrist will move in dark occultic powers. And we know from Scripture that he's going to come with signs and wonders that are energized by Satan. Number 11, Daniel 9:26 tells us the Antichrist is the prince that is to come. The world will receive him as a world prince. And this word prince depicts one that is a commander or one who is a great governmental leader, and he will be a Satan-empowered leader. But my friends, God eventually will remove him. Then point number 12, Daniel 11:21 says the Antichrist will be a vile person. And the word vile means contemptible, despised, disdained, or to be scorned. He's going to be truly a horrible, horrible individual. Number 13, Daniel 11:36 says, the Antichrist shall do according to his own will. according to his own will, depicts one who acts in accordance with his own pleasure, which means his chief concern will not be the welfare of the world, but his chief concern will be himself and executing his own wishes. Number 14, Daniel 11:36 goes on to say the Antichrist will exalt and magnify himself above every god. The word exalt means to be highly lifted up and is used in both the Old and the New Testament to describe the highly elevated status of God. But here we find that the Antichrist is going to exalt himself and he will magnify himself. The word magnify means to promote or to magnify. And the verse says, above every god. The word every is all-inclusive, which means he will not just exalt himself above Jesus, but he will exalt himself above every form of God and every religion on planet Earth. Number 15, Daniel 11:36 says, the Antichrist shall speak marvelous things against the God of God. But the phrase marvelous things really describes that which is blasphemous, that which is blasphemous. And the word against describes him speaking blasphemies against God. And the word against also carries the idea of being above, beyond, and over. And thus, it implies that he will blasphemously exalt himself above, beyond, and over God himself. Wow. Number 16. Daniel 11:36 says the Antichrist will prosper. Actually, the Hebrew word means he will advance until the time of wrath is fulfilled. And the word prosper really means to advance. It means to push forward, to succeed, or to thrive. And it carries the idea of advancement, prosperity, and success. And the Antichrist will experience a time of success until the indignation be accomplished. And the word indignation refers to the wrath of God that is going to be poured out during the time of the Great Tribulation. He will succeed until God is finished pouring out his indignation and his wrath, and then the rule of the Antichrist will be accomplished. It will be finished. Number 17, Daniel 11:37 says the Antichrist will not regard the God of his fathers. The word regard means to consider, to grasp, or to understand. The word fathers is from a word that refers to forefathers, and it was used in the Old Testament to denote not only paternal forefathers, but also those who pass their faith from one generation to another generation. And some believe this means the Antichrist may come from a Jewish heritage, but he will not be connected to the God of his forefathers. He'll be disconnected. Others believe that he'll be a Gentile and that he likewise will reject the faith of his forefathers, but he will not regard the God of his fathers, according to Daniel 11:37. Then we come to number 18. And Daniel 11:36 likewise says, listen to this one, the Antichrist will have no desire for women. The word desire means to desire, to delight in, or to have pleasure. The words desire of women seem to indicate that the Antichrist may be a homosexual. The verse does not explicitly state that, but it's logical to think that's what this verse would mean. And in prior times, a homosexual would never become a world leader, but we're living at the end of the age when anything is possible. And Daniel 11:37 says the Antichrist will have no desire for women. Number 19, Daniel 11:37 says, the Antichrist will not regard any god. And the word any again is all inclusive. And Daniel repeats this over and over and over, that the Antichrist will disregard every god, the God of gods, and any and every god that is in the world. And of course, he's going to exalt himself as if he is God. Point number 20, Daniel 11:30 says, the Antichrist will magnify himself above all. And the word magnify again means to become great, to promote, or to magnify. And it was most certainly used in the Old Testament to describe the act of magnifying God. But here we find the Antichrist is going to magnify himself above all. And the word above means against, above, beyond, and over, which means there will be no God, no religion, no governmental authority, literally nothing or no one at all that he will not audaciously exalt himself above. Number 21, Zechariah 11:16 says the Antichrist will be a ruthless leader. It actually says he'll be harsh, and he will be inhumane. We also see this in Revelation chapter 13, verse 10, where we read that anybody that does not fall in line to worship him and to receive his mark will be massacred with the sword. Then number 22, we come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, where we read the Antichrist will be a man of sin. And we've seen in previous programs that the word sin is the Greek word anomia, from the word nomos, which describes law, but you put an A on the front. It's one that is lawless. He will try to unshackle the world from all previous moral codes. He will try to unshackle the world from the Word of God itself and the authority of God and create a brand new world that is lawless of old laws and old beliefs, and he'll try to create a brand new world. Number 23, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 says, the Antichrist will be suddenly revealed. And we have seen in previous programs, he will be revealed the moment that the great restrainer is taken out of the way. We're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, that then, at that exact moment, he will be revealed. Then point number 24, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 says the Antichrist will be the son of perdition. Now, this is quite opposite from how he is going to style himself. He's going to style himself as the great world leader that everyone has been waiting for. But the Bible says, actually, he'll be the son of perdition. The word perdition in Greek is the word apaleia. It describes ruin. It describes rot. And it means there will be absolutely no redeeming values to the rule of the Antichrist. Everything he touches will turn to rot. Number 25. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4 says the Antichrist will oppose and magnify himself above God. The word oppose tells us that he will oppose every previous belief, every previous moral code. He will oppose all of it. He will oppose every other world authority, and he will magnify himself as if he is God himself. In fact, point number 6 is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, which says that he will seat himself in the Holy of Holies as God. He is going to enter into a rebuilt temple in the city of Jerusalem and actually sit in the Holy of Holies and declare himself to be God. That is clearly what the Bible teaches. Then we come to point number 27. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4 says the Antichrist will show himself that he is God. And the word show means he will do whatever he needs to do to demonstrate that he is divine. And we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he will come with lying signs and wonders. He will be energized by Satan himself, and he's going to supernaturally try to prove to the watching world that he really is divine. Number 28, 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 6 says the Antichrist will be revealed in his own time, which means there really is a moment, an appointed season, when the Antichrist is going to be revealed. Now, he may be waiting right now. He may be on stage, but he's behind the curtains, and he cannot be revealed as long as the church is here. But the moment the great restrainer has been removed, then he's going to be revealed in his own appointed time. Number 29, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 says, the Antichrist will be the wicked one. The wicked one. And the word wicked pictures one who possesses no fixed moral standards. And the Antichrist will completely depart from past moral norms and from God's word and try to unshackle the world from past codes of conduct and from forms of morality. Number 30. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 says the Antichrist will be empowered and energized by Satan. I've covered that in previous programs. You need to go back to the archives or buy the entire series where I teach on the fact that the Antichrist will come with supernatural signs and wonders. And that's what we see in point number 30 in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. The Antichrist will be empowered and energized by Satan. And then we come to point number 31, which we find in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. The Antichrist will be a beast. That is what he is called. And the word beast is the Greek word thurion. This word thurion describes a brute, dangerous, savage, wild beast. It is used to denote any force that was chaotic, dangerous, evil, hostile, or wild. And it means that though the Antichrist may feign benevolence and kindness as a leader, at least at first, that's how he portrays himself, eventually it will be seen that he really is a beast, and he'll no longer be able to hide the fact that he's callous, cold-blooded, cruel, and vicious. Now, I have given you 31 points about the Antichrist, which we gather from the book of Daniel, Zephaniah, and from 2 Thessalonians, and from the book of Revelation. There are actually many more, but these are primary points. My friend, you need to understand that when this man makes his appearance to the world, he will style himself in one way, but his goal is to promote himself as God, to promote his own will, his own wishes. This will be a man of perversion, a man who tries to unshackle the world from the Word of God and past moral codes, and to create a new world of his own making, and he will be a beast. Now, when we come back in the next program, we're going to see where the Antichrist is going to come from. But I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Hey friends, my name is Rick Renner, and somebody has asked, what is the judgment seat of Christ? Well, it's referred to multiple times in the New Testament, but we read about it very specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, which says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And notice it doesn't say we must all grovel before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be a moment when we stand upright, and the judgment seat of Christ is not a place where we're going to be reminded of all of our past sins. The word judgment seat is the Greek word bema. It really was a place where rewards were given. And a day is coming in my future and your future when each of us are going to stand before Jesus, and he will reward us according to how we obeyed him in this life. And this life is a pre-qualification period for what we're going to do in all of eternity. But one day we really will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We won't grovel there. We're going to stand upright, and Jesus will reward us for our obedience.
Are you afraid of what will happen at the end of the age? The Lord's return should not scare us, but instead comfort us. In Rick Renner's new 20-part series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, an end times countdown and what happens next, discover the origin of the word rapture. Who will go in the rapture? When the Antichrist will appear? What is the mark of the beast? Who will be raptured first? When the moment of rescue will occur? What our resurrected bodies will be like? Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $35, this series will erase your fear and replace it with eager anticipation. In addition to this teaching series, order the book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. This completely illustrated 464-page book is a timely guide to understanding the rapture and the end times. Order today. Don't miss this special offer of the bundle of the series, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and The Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next, starting at just $35, and the book of the same name for $29. Call the number on your screen now, or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey guys, this is Rick Renner, and guess where I am? This is the lunchroom in our Tulsa Ministry headquarters facility. People have to have a place to work, and they work really hard in this facility, taking calls, answering letters from thousands and thousands of people who reach out to us every day and every week. But in this room, we decided to adorn the walls with photographs of all the places where we have offices for Renner Ministries. Behind me, there's a beautiful photograph of Moscow, because you know we have a very important office there. Then there's a photograph of London, because we have an office in England, and we've had an office in England for years and years. Then there's a beautiful picture of Riga, where Denise and I and our boys lived for 9 years. And our European office in Riga handles so much correspondence from people that reach out to us. And then there is a photograph of the Oklahoma State Capitol to represent this office, which is in the state of Oklahoma. But right now, we're trying to pay off this facility. It's called the Ministry Expansion Project. We've already paid off 78% of the facility. And my friends, we need your help to help us finish this. And if you're not already a part of the giving team, I'm inviting you to join us and to help us pay off this facility. And when it is finished being paid for, it's going to release all those finances so we can keep taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. But thank you for being a part.
You know, as I was teaching today, I could hear someone thinking, why do we need to know all these points about the Antichrist? Because the Bible gives them to us. And if the Bible tells us something, it means we need to understand it. We need to understand what is coming to the world in the future. But if you're a child of God, you won't be here. And that's another reason why you need to reach the unsaved. You don't want them to be here either. But please, my friend, order the whole series, which is called The Rapture, The Antichrist, and the Tribulation. It's 20 parts, comes with a study guide, and be sure to order the book, 464 pages, cover to cover, fully illustrated, called The Rapture, The Antichrist, and the Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next. You need to know what's going to happen next so you can be prepared and so you can help other people to be prepared. But when we come back, we're going to see what the Bible tells us about possibly where the Antichrist is going to come from. That's a question of great debate, so we're going to cover it in the next episode. But Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you allow us to gather together and to study the Word of God. Thank you that you've given us so much information, Lord, that you want us to be prepared. We thank you for this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. All right, I'll see you in the next program. But please remember Ecclesiastes 8:4. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.